For instance, what is one thing you do every day? Some of you can remember and some of you can't. Katie, you do it every day. I don't know. Do you get out of bed every day? No. Well, I think you'd remember, though, if you got out of bed, wouldn't you? Some of you can remember, some of you can't. The ones who can remember are very significant to you. Some people have good ones, some people have bad ones.
Dreams.
Well, you all daydream when I'm preaching. So, I mean, let's not go down that line, shall we? But it's something you do every day. Sometimes you wake up and you can't remember that you've dreamed, but you have dreamed. Did you know that? You have dreamed. I can remember a dream telling me I was going to go to Reading. And that dream was so significant. And I was living in God's city, as you know, at the time, and thought I'd never leave Sunderland. Well, that dream was so significant. It stood out, it stood out. I could never forget it. It was constantly there. And to tell you the truth, I hadn't really heard of Reading. But every time the football results came up, or every time somebody the name of Reading mentioned, just something conjured in my spirit. And it was all from a dream. And years later, and I mean years later, that was fulfilled. That was fulfilled. Joseph had a dream, didn't he? I think there are 34 dreams in Scripture. I think it's 34. But I want to turn to you, a man who dreamed as well. Would you turn to me to Genesis chapter 28? Well, I'll be reading from the King James Version, so I don't know whether the NIV will correspond with this, but it does say to me, dream in my version. I don't know what it will say in the NIV. But this is what it says in Genesis chapter 28, and I don't know whether someone actually would like to read from verses 10 to verse 18. If nobody, does somebody like to read?
Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the east, to the west, and to the east, to the north, and to the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.
Hallelujah. It was a dream. But it was a very significant dream. It wasn't just a dream that he dreamt and woke up the next morning and just thought, well, that was quite a nice dream. This dream was a significant dream in the life of this young man called Jacob. The outset of Jacob was, why was Jacob in the desert? Jacob was running away. Jacob had just done a nasty thing to his brother. In fact, Jacob would do a nasty thing to anybody. I don't know whether anybody used to watch Dallas. Probably you can't remember. But there was a chap on there called J.R. Ewing. And he would be as nasty as he possibly could. It didn't matter who it was. His mother, his father, his friends, his brothers. Well, Jacob was like that. Jacob always wanted to have everything that he wanted. And he wanted it his way. He would lie. He would steal. He would cheat. He would do everything possible as long as Jacob got what Jacob wanted. His name means deceiver. See, when Jacob was born, they thought, we'll call him Jacob. He's a deceiver. And Jacob, this time, overcrossed the mark. And you know, sometimes we can do that. We can just overcross the boundary line, can't we? And so Esau says, I'm going to wait till my dad dies, then I'm going to kill him. But of course, his mom hears this. And so she says to Jacob, you'd better run, because your brother is going to kill you. So here was a man who was in a mess. He was in a mess. He tried to do life his way. He gained what he thought was everything that he wanted, but in the end of the day, everything that he wanted had led him to one thing only. He was on the run. He was on the run. And so he runs away, because his brother is out to kill him. Well, I want to tell you this morning, there's always hope with God. God had his eyes on Jacob. And you may think, well, how strange is that? That God would have his eyes on someone who was a thief, a stealer, a liar, who would do anything he possibly could to get his own way, and yet God had his eyes on him. I want to tell you, that's great hope this morning, isn't it, for you and me? Think about it. God had his eye on you this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, now you may not be as bad as Jacob, or as JR, or as other people. In every serial, there's always a bad person, the good person, isn't there? But what I'm saying is, you may say, I've never been as bad as that. But trust you, in God's eyesight, God says we've all fallen short of his standards. But he hasn't taken his eyes off us. I want to encourage you this morning, God still has his eyes on his children. And even when we're running away, God still has his eyes on you. And I can remember running away from God. I can remember that clearly. I can remember Mom leaving my Bible by my bedside and nothing else. And I ran away from God. And I remember God met me one evening and changed my life that time completely. But I had to make a decision to stop running, to stop doing it God's way. But I want to say, even in the midst of my darkness, even in the midst of some of the stuff that I got up to, God's eyes were still upon me. And I can give illustrations of how, hadn't it been for the mercy of God, I never would have ended up in Reading, because I never would have got the job, because you have to have a clean criminal record to work for the civil service. And I wouldn't have had it, but for the grace of God. But God had his eyes upon me. That doesn't, by the way, give you a license now to go out and do one as you like, Katie. Okay, that does not mean you can go out and do as you like. Well, that's simply just trying to give you an illustration this morning. I've only got 15 minutes, we haven't started. But I'm just saying this morning that God has his eyes upon you. And if you've got loved ones who don't know Jesus yet, listen, be encouraged. God still has his eyes fixed firmly on the situation. And so this man runs away. He's in the middle of the desert and he gets tired. How many of you get tired and need a rest? You know, we all need rest. That's why God says only work 6 days a week. God knows that to be working 7 days every week is not good for you. Did you know that, by the way? Do you know that God planned the day of rest? To enjoy the day of rest. Hebrews 4 says this, doesn't it? Hebrews 4 says this. If Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. For there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his works. Let us therefore be diligently to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. There is a rest that you should enjoy. There is a rest of coming into God. And Jacob's problem was, he was trying to do it his way, and God was saying, Jacob, you need to do it my way. And when we stop wrestling and rest in God, let me tell you, life works out so much better. When we are resting in God, life works out so much better.
Amen.
So much better. But when we're scurrying and hurrying and we've got our own ambitions and our own plans, Robin Mark. I always get the name mixed. Robin Mark sings a lovely song and it's called All for Jesus. All for Jesus. All I have and ever hope to be. All my will, all my plans, I surrender. And it's just a lovely little song. But the words are powerful. When we can actually say, I have surrendered my will, my plans unto God, and I'm resting in God, then Bible says in Hebrews 4, there is a place for those who have entered into the rest. We need to enter into God's rest. Friends, we really do. But I want to talk about some of the things that Jacob experienced. The first thing he did is he was tired. And I don't know about you, but, you know, if I go to someone's house and sleep the night, not very often, but I always find there's two pillars. I can only sleep with one pillar. I don't know how many of you sleep with two pillars, or how many don't even have a pillar. Do we all have pillars? Sorry? Samuel doesn't. No. No, poor boy. Father, we just prayed for Samuel this morning. But no, I mean, somehow, some people like two pillows. But you like to have something to rest your head on, don't you? No, you do, don't you? If you just lay in bed and just hit the head of the bed without a pillow, truly. And even I'm not a good pillow. I was better off resting my head on a pillow than on my chest. Seriously, it'd be much more comfortable. Listen. This man needed a rest. He didn't have a pillow with duck feathers in. What he found was a what?
Stone.
A stone. He found a stone. I don't know whether he was looking around to see if he could get one shaped like his head or whether it was square or rectangle. No. I want to tell you, friends, you need a stone in your life. And Jesus calls himself the stone of dependence. Jacob was about to discover that Jesus is a stone of dependence. He is a rock of dependence. This is what the Bible has to say about God. Christ is known as a stone. He's known as the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. Jesus said it to himself. Jesus actually said it to himself. Listen, he was the chief cornerstone. Peter calls him a precious stone. Let me tell you, who are you anchoring your life on this morning? Where is your dependence this morning? Is it on the rock? Peter quotes Psalm 118, verse 22, when he boldly proclaimed that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was crucified, raised from the dead, and was the stone rejected by the builders, but has now become the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. He is the cornerstone on which this church is built upon. Hallelujah. Our foundation is in Christ this morning. He is our rock of dependence. He is our stone of dependability this morning. The Bible says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Oh, friend, I want to know, do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know him as the chief cornerstone? Do you know he's the rock of dependability this morning? The Bible says there is no other name given under heaven or given amongst men by which we must be saved. He has become the chief cornerstone of salvation. I don't know what you're building your life on this morning, but I would suggest you build it on Jesus this morning. Build it on the cornerstone of life this morning, because there Jacob found a rest for his head. You want a rest for your head today? You'll find it in Jesus. You'll find it in Jesus. Because Jesus has proclaimed that he is the only way of salvation. And all those who come unto him, he will accept them. He will never reject them. All those who come to Jesus, find him. In Acts 4:12 he says, he is the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple. All who believe in Jesus will find a solid rock for their lives. What else though did Jacob encounter? He puts his head on this stone, and he says to this stone, you are my pillow tonight. You are my dependability tonight. I'll put my head upon you and I'm going to go to sleep. And I don't know about you, but when you get a nice pillow that just nicely sinks into your head and you haven't got a bad conscience, Jonas, you've got a clear conscience like I have, then you go to sleep very, very quickly. When you're tossing and turning, just confess your sins. That's probably the easiest way. But listen, he goes to sleep. He has no problem. He's found a nice little head pillow for himself. And he goes to sleep. What's the next thing that he finds? He dreams a dream. And behold, what? A ladder. And what's this ladder doing? Where's this ladder? And? Correct. The ladder is touching heaven and touching. And there are people able to go up and down. I want to tell you, what was significant about this ladder was God was saying to Jacob, I'm your communication. Praise God. He was saying, I have touched heaven and earth. I want to tell you, Jesus has touched heaven and earth this morning. And he says to you that he is your intercessor. The Bible says that when you cannot pray, the Holy Spirit takes your prayers, and it says Jesus ever lives to make intercession for his people. Jesus is praying for you right now. Do you know the wonderful thing about this ladder? Is that one day God has united again heaven and earth in the name of Jesus. Jacob, do you want communication with an eternal God? It's not your way. It's Jesus' way. This whole story is about Jacob focusing off himself and focusing on God. And I want to tell you this morning, we need to focus off ourselves and focus on God. There we'll find rest. There we'll find a rock of dependability. The angels were coming up and down. There was a prominent part, of course. Angels were very much used by God. They were witnesses at the resurrection, if you remember. Why seek you the living among the dead? It was the angels that came to Mary, do you remember? And gave her the good news. Who came to the shepherds in the fields? It was the angels. Angels were used in the Old Testament. There was two famous angels, wasn't there? Gabriel and Michael. Gabriel always speaks of deliverance. Michael always speaks of destruction. Whenever you read about the Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel, it's about deliverance. I give you good news to you this day. It's always good news. So, Junior, if Gabriel comes today, you're okay. It's good news. Okay. But if Michael comes, it was always to do with destruction. If Michael comes, run. But it's Michael who's fighting. It's Michael who's in heaven fighting the enemy. Read Daniel. Michael's always associated with destruction. Gabriel's always associated with deliverance. That wasn't meant to be part of it. But it's just to say, listen, what he was trying to say is, listen, do you know God is saying, Jacob, if you rest your head and put your trust in me, these angels that are marching up until they'll look after you, because we all have ministering angels. Hallelujah. Do you know you have an angel this morning, a ministering angel, who protects us, who guards us, who can see the unseen? We cannot see them. And if we knew how much the angels had protected us, it would blow us away. They are spiritual beings who have been sent to look after us. Hallelujah. Jacob, you might be running away. You might be in the desert all alone, but you're not. Because my eyes are on you, and my ministering angels are here to minister to you. Can I encourage you this morning, if you rest in God, you can find a stone of dependence. You can find a ladder of communication this morning, of intercession. This is what God has with his people. This is what he was telling Jacob. But Jacob, it has to do with his way, not your way. But he promises Jacob something, doesn't he? Because the next thing you notice is, he promises him a seed, doesn't he? He said, Jacob, if you do it my way, I'll promise you such an inheritance that will blow you completely away. And out of Jacob came 12 children, the 12 tribes of Israel. And what an inheritance Jacob has, the Jewish nation today. I want to tell you, if you belong to Jesus, you have a seed of inheritance this morning. Read Ephesians chapter 1. Read Ephesians chapter 1, friends. Listen, Jesus Christ has got a seed of abundance for you. Not only has he got a rock of dependability, not has he only got a ladder of intercession, he's got a seed of abundance this morning. Jesus has got a seed of abundance. And the Bible says, and you know the verse off by heart, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, Neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has for those who belong to him. Friends, isn't it great to know you've got a seed of abundance this morning? You've got an inheritance in Christ in Ephesians chapter 1. Read it. The amount of times that God calls us his children and what we have in him. I haven't got time. It's almost 12 o'clock, so I want to get through the rest of this. But not only does he see a seed, he also sees a gate. He sees a gate and the gate of entrance. Read what it says here. He sees a gate. He says, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up in the earth, and it reached to heaven. And the Lord stood above it and told him that he was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. And he says, listen, I will give to you a seed for your dependence, and they shall be the dust of the earth. And in you and your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And we know that because through Jacob's seed came Jesus Christ. And all the world have been blessed since Jacob came. And then he says this in verse 17. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. Jacob's finally got it. He realizes, listen, if there is an entrance into receiving the seed of abundance, if there is to be an entrance into having a rock of dependability, if there is to be an entrance of rest, it has to come through a gate. And Jesus said he was the good shepherd. And he said the good shepherd come through his gate. I want to tell you, Jesus is the gate of entrance for you this morning. He is the gate of entrance this morning. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, do you know that you can come to Jesus right now with your need? All I'm trying to say to you is, isn't it wonderful to know that you can come to God anytime, any place, anywhere, because you have an entrance into the throne room of grace. Hallelujah. I have an entrance into the throne room of grace. But it's all through Jesus. It's all through Jesus. And the Lord says this to Jacob, doesn't he? I am with you. And I will keep you in all places. And I will bring you back again to this land. And the final thing as I finish off, because it is 12 o'clock, is that he finds another stone. And what does he do with this stone? He pours the oil on this stone. It symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Friends, Jesus has poured his Holy Spirit into your life. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? Jacob says, listen, if the Lord, I am with thee. And behold, I will keep thee in all places. I will bring you again into this land. And oh, how excited Jacob is. And Jacob says this. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth. He recognized the stone as God's what? House. This stone represents God's house. God, who is the chief builder, remember I told you this just before, he's the chief cornerstone. That stone to Jacob, you see, he knew what it meant. And he recognized that if God was going to be with him, if he had this gate of entrance, if God was going to bring him back to a resting place, if God was going to be his intercessor, then this stone represented all that God was for him. This was the house of God. And he said, I never knew it. I never knew. Do you know you can be in a place and not know that God is there? Do you know that? Our lives. And we need to realize that, listen, we have a gateway of entrance. And just as Jacob poured oil on that stone, representing that anointing, so God has poured out his Holy Spirit on you and me this morning. Hallelujah. We have a Holy Spirit this morning, poured out over us this morning. That it speaks to us of, remember what he says, it speaks to us of his engagement ring. It speaks to us of his promise that God will fulfill all that he said. It's a signet ring. The Holy Spirit is represented to us this morning that what God has promised to you, God is going to deliver.
Amen.
And he said to Jacob, I promise you, one day you will return back home You'll no longer run away. You will go back home. You will be united with your brother. You will go back home. And friends, that's what happened. Years later, Jacob returned back home. Friend, I want to tell you, God's given you the Holy Spirit today. And he promises one day you're going home. You're going home to your spiritual home, where you'll be united with God forever. It's 12:05. We've done a little bit extra. But can you see how this story illustrates so much for you and I this morning? We have a rest in Christ this morning. Stop running. We have a stone of dependability this morning. We have a ladder where God intercedes for us this morning. We have a seed of abundance in Christ this morning. We have a gateway of entrance where we can cry to God this morning, because we can go right to the throne of grace this morning. And we have the Holy Spirit being poured out in our lives, which is a promise of what God is going to do for us. Wow. And Jacob woke up. I hope you're going to wake up this morning. I hope you do dream tonight, and I hope they're good dreams. But listen, let's wake up to the fact what we have in Jesus. We have a stone, a ladder, a seed, a gate of entrance, an anointing of oil from the Holy Spirit. We have all this in Jesus this morning. We don't have to run away no more. We are fixed, firm and secure in Jesus Christ this morning.